The Shabbos is Parshas Nitzavim. There's a story that's told of Rav Chaim Volozhiner and the Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon claimed that if you look well in Chumash, you can find a remez for everything that's going to happen in the future, everything that we're living through. So the Rav Chaim Volozhiner asked him, where is there a remez for the Rebbe, for the Vilna Gaon? So he took out a Chumash and he started looking in Parshas Kiseitse, I think. And looking, found the Pasuk Eben Shleima Yehloch. And he said, Eben Shleima is the Rosh HaTevis of Yehoh Ben Shlomo. That was his name. So that part is famous. So the rest of the story is from the same less famous. Rabbi Chaim Volozhin asked him, why did he look Dafke in Parshas Kiseitse? So the Vilna Gaon answered, because in Chumash Dvarim is where you'll find the Ramazim for everything that's going to happen in the Elef HaShishi, in the 6th millennium, between the year 5000 and the year 6000. And every Sedra, he says in Chumash Dvarim, there are 10 Sedras. Either 11 Sedras, they're not 10. So he says, no, because Nitzav Mayelech is really one Sedra. That the Zohar speaks about the fact that there are Nun Gimel Parshios. One of the Rishonim wrote a Sefer Hagan, Gimel Nun, on 53 Parshios, 53 Sedras. Because the Zohar says there are 53, either 54 Sedras. So some say that Truma Tetzaveh counts as one Sedra because Parshios Tetzaveh doesn't have Moshe Rabbeinu's name mentioned. From the time Moshe Rabbeinu was born, in the beginning of Chumash Mos, in Bereishis, you don't have Moshe Rabbeinu's name mentioned. He wasn't born yet. And in Parsha Shmos, after he was born, every single Sedra has his name mentioned except for Tetzaveh. So, and then Balaturim quotes the reason why, because it says, Mayin Mechein Enor Misifruch HaShe Kosofta. Moshe Rabbeinu told the Rebbeinu Shalom, if you don't forgive the Jewish people for the Chet HaEgel, so take my name out from the Sefer Torah. So Rebbeinu Shalom took his name out from Parsha Tetzaveh. So that's a little bit a bush of Moshe Rabbeinu, that his name doesn't appear. It's a maila for him, that he twisted the Rebbeinu Shlom's arm, he pressured the Rebbeinu Shlom to forgive Bnei Yisrael, but it's bizoyant to Moshe Rabbeinu. So some say that's why desire only counts Truma Tetzaveh as one Sedra, so there is no Sedra that doesn't have the name of Moshe Rabbeinu appearing after he was born. So the Vilna Gaon said that's not correct. Many Achaim say that's not correct. The Sedra that's not counted is Vayelech. Nitzav Mayelech is really one Sedra. That's what the Vilna Gaon said. And then he said that if you want to look for Ramazim, for what's taking place in this sixth millennium, in the unit of 1,000 years from the year 5000 to the year 6000, so for the first century, look in Parshas Dvarim, for the second century, look in Parshas Vayeschana, and then Ekev, and so on. So the Vilna Gaon at that time, he said, Dvarim Vaschanan Eker V'yei Shoftim Kiseitze. So Kiseitze is the sixth Sedra. So he lived in the sixth century of the sixth millennium. How do you calculate the sixth century? That's on the assumption that the year 1940 corresponds to the year 5700. In other words, is that correct?
Yeah.
So that's on the assumption that the year 5000 corresponds to the year 1240, I think. So 1240 to 1340, anything that happened 1240 to 1340, look in Devarim. And he lived in the 6th century, so that's why he looked, and it was before 1740 at that time. He lived before 1740, died the late 1700s. So this whole story is printed. So then the one who printed this in the middle of the Holocaust. So he says, and the seventh Sedra is Kisavai, and in Kisavai you have this bitter Teichacha that we read last week. It's so awful about the women eating the flesh of their own babies when they're going to die. Such a terrible teichacha. So there was a suggestion that corresponds to the teichacha in Kisavai, corresponds to the Shoah that that took place at that time before the year 1940. Historically, after the year 1940 was worse than before 1940. The Nazis were killing more Jews after 1940. But that's the one who wrote this, wrote it in the middle of the war, so he didn't realize that. And then years later they wrote that when you come to the 8th Sedra, that's Nisavim Bayelach, Kayodua, like the Vilna Gaon said, Kayodua, it's one Sedra. So you read about Shivat Zion, everybody's coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And you read about the big Tshuva movement. There's a tremendous Tshuva movement now going on in Eretz Yisrael and other places as well. And you read about Ksivas Sifrei Torah. Every other week someone's writing another Sifrei Torah all over the world. It's becoming more popular than it ever was before. So that's the Shaila. These are the Ramazim according to the Vilna Gaon. He said if you look in the 10 Sedras of Chumash Dvarim, you'll find the Ramazim for the things that are going to happen in the 10 centuries in the 6th millennium. The problem with this is that the Gemara has this historical tradition that Bais Rishon lasted 410 years, that's what it says in Tanakh. The Bais Sheni lasted 420 years, that doesn't say in Tanakh, that's what it says in the Gemara, and it's based on the assumption that that the names of the Goyish kings that appear in Tanakh, they're all the same king, and he had six different names. That's how the Gemara says at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. But if you look in the Goyish history books, these were different kings. Bezach, Hazach, Hazach, Hazach. So according to the Goyish history books, the Bais Sheni was way longer. It wasn't 420 years. There's at least 150 years missing over there. So that's what my father used to say. So all of the Ksuvas, all the Gittin that we write, they're all possible. We write the wrong date. It's a Muktam. We give a date that's 150 years earlier. 150 years off. My father used to say, that's why we write in Shnas, we write Tavshin Ayin Ches Limin Yishan Monim Kan, Beer, New York. We write according to the calculation that we make. Maybe the calculation is wrong, but that's the way we write. We write it Tavshin Ayin Ches. So the Ksubas and the Gittin and the Storas are not possible. But if all the calculations are 150 years off, so everything is Kakai. So everything that the Vilna Gaon said, everything, all these Rimozim are not Eisgehalten. So that's a question, which is correct? Is the Gemara correct or are the history books correct? So this is Machloikis, the Balamor, and the Raven in the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. When the Gemara says all the kings were the same king, all the same. So the Balamor says, but we all know from the history books that it's not so. So the Gemara is wrong. So the Balamor and the Raven learned per Chavrusa. So the Raven writes, the Raven has Hasogas on the Balamor, Balamor has Hasogas. And the Rabbi wrote a sefer on Taras HaMishpacha that's called Balei HaNefesh. So we have Hasogas from the Balamor on the Balei HaNefesh, and we have the Balamor sefer on the Rif. So you have Hasogas from the Rabbi that's called Kosuv Shom. Every paragraph begins Kosuv Shom. The Balamor wrote, and he usually disagrees with him. So the Rabbi Tain is against the Balamor. Why do you choose to follow the history books? Why don't you follow the Gemara? Why don't you assume the history books are wrong? Chazanish writes like that. He thinks that the history books are wrong and the Gemara is correct. And other Gedolim assume that it's a Dovah Pashat, that the history books are correct and the Gemara is wrong. So that's the question. If the Gemara is wrong, there's a famous Maharshal on Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Beis where the Gemara gives a whole comment on history and the Maharshal disagrees with the Gemara. He says, V'neni kecholek al Gemara, it's in history. You have a right to disagree with the Gemara in history. So that's the shaila over here. If the Gemara is wrong, then this whole calculation is all kakai. Anyway, Parshas Nitzavim is an important parsha. It speaks about the Gula Hasida. Speaks about Shiva Sin. It speaks about the fact any son the Gola Mela the Tshuva. The Rambam quotes that from the Gemara, and it's based on the pasuk in today's Sedra in Parshas Nitzavim, and it says that. The Rambam writes, Torah promises us, Torah tells us in advance, the Jewish people will do tshuva, and this will enable us to have the Gula Hasida. You'll live through the whole Torah. The Rambam writes, how can the Torah promise us, so from Shalisrael, lasas tshuva? We believe in Bechira Chavshis. we believe in absolute bechira chavshis, the different considerations that people have in mind. You want to lead an easier life, so you don't have to keep kosher, and you don't have to keep taras hamishpacha, you don't have to keep Shabbos. Life is much easier. But you still have a bechira chavshis. These are different considerations that people have in mind when they decide whether they're going to keep mitzvahs or not going to keep mitzvahs. But there's nothing forcing a person one way or the other. The Rambam in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos, when he speaks about the Bechira Chavshis, he quotes the Pasuk in Eicha, Mipi Elyon Leseitzi HaRoes VaHatoif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't force people to do Roes, doesn't force people to do Tov. That's our decision. We all have Bechira Chavshis. Some people find it more difficult than others. Some people have a stronger desire for women, some have a stronger desire for money, to rob a bank, some have a stronger desire for men, okay, some men have a desire for men, some people have a greater difficulty exercising their Bechira Chavshis because their Nisoyin is so much greater than others. But everybody has Bechira Chavshis. Whoever doesn't have, there are people that don't have Bechira Chavshis. That's called the Shaita, one who doesn't have. Some of the homosexuals claim they don't have a Bechira Chavshis, okay? So they're saying that they have a din of a shaita. A shaita is a person, doesn't have bechira chavshis. A shaita is part of mikol ha-mitzvahs. A shaita is not held responsible for any of the errors that he does. We believe in bechira chavshis. Most of psychology, for many years already, they don't believe in bechira chavshis. Many social workers also don't believe in bechira chavshis. This is a fundamental ikar in our religion. We believe in bechira chavshis.
Do we believe in a concept of shota ben yanafad? Meaning, like you're saying, a homosexual would say they wouldn't claim to be a shota the flower, they would claim to be a shota in this one inyan.
Yeah, yeah.
So in general, in halacha, we say that like...
There is such a thing as a shaita the davrecha, yes.
And you're patur from this specific mitzvah, not...
That's a question. So do you say shaita the davrecha is a shaita for everything, even the things that he knows, or not? That's a question. Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks that a shaita the davrecha is a bardas for all other purposes. He's a bardas, but he says, but the Rambam says beferish that he's posel la'edus. So isn't that because he's a shaita? So Rav Moshe says, no, he's posel la'edus because he's not chayv in mitzvahs. He says, you're either chayv in all the mitzvahs, or you're not chayv in any mitzvah. So if you're a shaita, the davrechet, you don't have bechira chavshis, you're not chayv in that mitzvah, then you're not chayv in any mitzvah, that's why you're posel la'edus. But if you make a transaction, a business transaction, mekel hamemkar, or if you'll marry a girl or you'll divorce the girl, that just depends on das. So he is a bardas. He is considered a bardas. Others disagree with Rav Moshe. This Rav Moshe quotes from one of the poskim, and he likes that psak. So one of the gedolim in Europe writes that in the Sefer Chelkas Yoyev, a tshuva Sefer Chelkas Yoyev, he was a Talmud Chaver of the Avnei Nezer 100 years ago. So he writes, Kol bar beirav dechad yoyma. Any bacher learned in yeshiva one day knows that Rav Moshe is wrong. That's what he says. That is not so. And so Soloveitchik also was very upset about that tshuva Rav Moshe. Someone told him about it. He said, don't tell it to anybody. It's a busha. The Rav Moshe should have printed like that. That a man thinks that he's Moshiach. And Moshe says, al pidin, he's a bardas. He can get married. He can get divorced. He's just crazy in that area. He thinks he's Moshiach. But it doesn't mean that he's a labardas. It's usually assumed like the Chelkas Yoyev wrote, called bar berav the chad yom. The guy thinks he's Moshiach. So meshuganah. So he's kiddushin al natchal, even though everything else he knows what he's doing. Crazy is crazy. Anyway, this week's sedra is ein yitzon nigolim ela b'tshuva, and there will be a gulu hasida, and the haftira is the from the shev de nechemta. So it says Hashem about Hakamas Hamedina and Akris Hayamin is going to be something marvelous, wonderful. All the nations of the world will respect Medinas Yisrael. In only 70 years, Medinas Yisrael is already all the way on top. All the way on top. They have such high tech and have so many other things unbelievable. The nations of the world, a lot of them are anti-Semitic, but they can't hold back from... respecting, that's why there's so much anti-Semitism, because Medina is so successful. All the words of the prophets are being fulfilled, and the Catholic clergy don't know what to do with this, because they felt when the Jews rejected Jesus, Yoshka, So the Catholics assumed that we lost our status as the Am HaNivchar, and originally, when the Zionist movement started well over 100 years ago, so the Catholic response to the Zionist movement was that it's just not going to get off the ground. It's not going to happen, because Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz HaNivcheres for the Am HaNivchar, and the Jews lost their status as Am HaNivchar, and the Christians are now the Am HaNivchar, because they did accept Yoshka. So then when Hakom Samdina took place, they were this was against what they were printing for years. They're printing this all over the world in all the different languages of their newspapers. There was a woman who lived in a neighborhood. This was her, I think, her doctoral dissertation. She collected all the newspaper articles in all the different languages, Italian, Spanish, and French, and English, from all the Catholic newspapers. Her husband used to teach in the high school here. And she was tragically run over by a car in front of the yeshiva. There was no red light on the corner of 186, the next block, 186. She was run over there. So after she lost her life, then they put a traffic light there. But they lived right across the street. So this was her, I think, her doctoral dissertation. Her father was Rabbi Yalas from Philadelphia, prominent Orthodox rabbi. And her husband was Rabbi Feldblum, who taught in the high school over here. So after Hakam Samdina, so the Christians didn't know what to do. It's against everything that they were preaching. So they said at that time that the Jews had the modern Israel, but they have the modern state of Israel, but they don't have the old Palestine. They don't have the Eretz Atika. They don't have Hebron, where Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankel lived. They don't have the real Eretz Yisrael. So then after Mohammed Sheish HaTayyamim, when he got everything back, so they had to give some kind of a teretz. So the day after Mohammed Sheish HaTayyamim, the Pope declared that the Jews should make Yerushalayim, they should internationalize Yerushalayim. Why should they internationalize it? Because it's against their belief. They kept on preaching for years, it's not going to happen. The Jews will never have Yerushalayim. So they got Yerushalayim. So every single year, the Pope, all the popes, as nice as they are, even those who say that the Jews do go to Gan Eden, even without accepting Yoshka. The last three popes, I think, changed the tune. They changed the pismon. They said the Jews go to Gan Eden even if they don't accept Yoshka. Every year when the cardinals come to the yeshiva, we have conversations with them. So one of the rabbonim asked them, very nice that you say this, that the last three popes say, but what do your balabatim say? Do they agree with you? So he said, our balabatim are very angry. Why we come to speak to you, rabbis? You are the ones who killed their God. He said, they didn't convince the balabatim yet. The balabatim are upset. Why they come to speak to the Jews? Yeah, so that's every year the Pope, whoever the Pope is, even the last three popes, they all say the same tune, that they should internationalize the city of Yerushalayim because it causes a big problem for them. But all the words of the Haftarah are being fulfilled. Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, has become already one of the most important countries in the world. It used to be a developing country. Now it's already a fully developed country. It's one of the top developed countries, and it's ahead in many different areas. This Haftarah, Sassas and Bashem, is one of the Shev de Nechem. Also, the minig used to be, there are more quotes from the Mordechai, from the minhag of the Bali Atesis, that when there would be a chosin in the Shivas in Mea Mishta, in Shul, they would give him an aliyah on Shabbos, they would give him after, and he would recite this after, whatever week it would be. It would be Parshas Vayikra, Parshas Vaschana, whatever. They would give this aliyah, so they would give this after. Why? Because after is always supposed to be Me'en Yonah D'Yoyma. So Yonah D'Yoyma usually means in connection with the Haftarah. Sometimes Yonah D'Yoyma is because it's Mocha Chodesh, because tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. And sometimes in Yonah D'Yoyma is when Rabbi Shreiri Gaon passed away. I think his son was Rabbi Gaon, if I'm not mistaken. So when he passed away and they appointed Rabbi Gaon as the Rosh HaYeshiva, the name of the yeshiva was Gaon Yankif. Not all the presidents of the yeshiva were such big Talmid HaChacham. We use the word Gaon in the sense a very big Talmid Chacham, like the Vilna Gaon. At that time, that's not what the word Gaon meant. Gaon Yankov meant the pride of the Jewish people. The yeshiva was called the Gaon Yankov. The president of the yeshiva was called Rosh Yeshiva's Gaon Yankov. So some of them were presidents. They had to raise money. They had to raise the money for the yeshiva. That's the definition of president. Some of them were great Gaonim. So when Rabbi Shreiri Gaon passed away and the people appointed his son, Rabbi Gaon, to take over the yeshiva, So that Shabbos, they gave them an aliyah, and they said the Haftarah Moshe Abdi Meis, that Yeshua ben Nun is taking over. Just like when Moshe Rabbeinu died, Yeshua ben Nun took over. That's what we say for Haftarah. I think that's Simchas Torah, no? So that's the Haftarah they learned, because the Haftarah is supposed to be Min Yonah de Yonah. So this Haftarah is a very cheerful. All the Sheb din Achem Tavol, very cheerful. This Haftarah is very cheerful. That the Achris Hayomim, that Hakom Samedina, and it's going to be recognized by all the nations of the world. And the concluding pasuk says, "B'chol tzarasim loy tzar." How does it say? "B'chol tzarasim loy tzar." There's a kriya ksiv. So the ksiv is when the Jewish people are suffering, God is not suffering. But the kri is not so. You're not supposed to read loy tzar loy mitan aleph. The kri is loy mitavav. "B'chol tzarasim," when the Jewish people suffer, loy tzar. Kodesh Baruch Hu suffers along with us. That Shechinta Begalusa, the Rabbanu Shel Olam feels bad that the Jewish people suffer, and that's the concept of B'chol Tzaras Malay Tzar, of Golus HaShechina. The Rabbanu Shel Olam goes into Golus also. Shav Hashem Alkecha Shivus Chavik Hamecha. The Gemara says it doesn't say Yoshuv Leinamekim V'Yishav V'Kibes. It doesn't say Yoshuv HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Jewish people back there. It's not. Shav Hashem Alkecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu will be returned back to Eretz Yisrael with the Jewish people. Kol Zman, the Bnei Yisrael are in Golus, the Shechina is in Golus as well. Some of the Chidah quotes from the Mekubalim. What is that idea all about, Golus HaShechina? So he quotes, the Gemara says in Makkos, in Elohein HaGoylin, in the second parak in Makkos, that HaTalmud Shugola Magnan LeRabba Imoy, if a Talmud was sent into Golus, so the Rebbe is obligated to visit in Ore Miklot every so often on a regular basis, because it says V'nosa lachas min horem ho'el v'choi, the Ratzach B'shogig should go to the Ore Miklot v'choi, and he should enjoy living there. So you have to have a museum, and you have to have a movie theater, and you have to have a pharmacy, you have to have a hospital, you have to have all the things that people will enjoy. So they didn't have any internet at that time. So if he's a Talmud Chacham and he wants to hear Shurim, so the Rebbe has to accommodate. The Rebbe has to go visit Dori Mikla. The Rebbe has Talmidim in Tel Aviv or in Yerushalayim, wherever he lives. But he has to accommodate that Talmud also, go from time to time to give a Shia there for the Ratzach and Dori Mikla, Koz V'choy. So that's what the Chidah quotes from the Mekubalim, that Golas HaShechina means HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us into Golas. But Golas doesn't mean we have to suffer so much. Golas, we're not where we want to be. But the Shechina comes to visit us to cheer us up. But the question is, how long is the Rebbe Mechuyev to visit in the Ori Mikla? Let's say the Kohen Gadol dies, and the Ratzach has a right to go back, Lo Shav Aliyah, to go back to where his family is living. But he likes it in the Ori Mikla, to have a museum and have a library and have a movie theater and have everything there. So he wants to stay in the Ori Mikla. But the Rebbe is not Mechuyev. The Rebbe's only Mechuyev calls man, the Kohen Gadol is still alive, and the Ratzach can't leave. So the Rebbe's Mechuyev to cheer him up, v'chai. But once the Kohen Gadol dies, so the murderer can go back to live in his normal city. So the Rebbe is not Mechuyev to accommodate. So the Shechina also, the Shechina is with us in the Golus, as long as we're stuck here. Now we're not stuck. Now we have a Medina. Now we can all go back to Eretz Yisrael. It's very questionable whether there's still a Golus or Shechina. Maybe the Baruch Shalom already went back to Eretz Yisrael. Who says that he's holding our hands with us now? There is a concept of Golus HaShechina, but it could be that it was over already. Anyway, this week is an important Kriyas HaTorah, is very important. Nitzavim. Krahivticha HaTorah Shesofum Shal Yisrael Lasset Tshuva and Yisrael Negolim Ela B'Tshuva. That's this week's Seder. Got to speak a little bit. Yeah, there has also the pasuk Ki Amitzvah Zayis Hashem Anochem Tzavcha Yom Lo Nechleisi Mechor Lo Echor Kehi. The mitzvah that I'm commanding you is not so difficult to observe. What mitzvah is he talking about? It's very unclear. So the Rambam writes that it's referring to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Lo Bashamayim Hi Lo Me'ever LaYam Hi. Torah is not in Europe. There are those who say the Torah was in Europe and the Torah is not here. The Torah is here. You don't have to go travel far away. You can learn here in our yeshiva also. He learned very well. So the Rambam says that it goes on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Then it says, and it ends off, Kikorav elach adovim yod, limud HaTorah is close to you, b'ficho o b'ilbavcha la'aso so. What is that? Beficha bilbapcha la'asoso. So Rav Belbel HaSoloveitchik suggests maybe the pshat is according to the Rambam's pshat, that it goes on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Beficha is to recite Torah Shebichsav. We have a specific text, Tanakh, Beficha. Uvilvavcha is Torah Shebichsav. There's no specific. There is a specific text. We have Mishnayos, and we have the Gemara, and we have critical editions of the Gemara, and with all the corrections on the side. Okay, there is a text. But Al Pidin, there's no text. It's supposed to be Bilvavcha, it's supposed to be Bahavonas HaInyanim. That's what the Baal HaTanya writes in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Hilchos Talmud Torah, that there's a difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh. If a person rattles off Tanakh and he doesn't understand what he's saying, but still he's saying the text that's Beficha, saying the text of Torah Shebichsav, so there's a Kiyam HaMitzvah of Talmud Torah. But in Torah Shebaalpeh, if a person is rattling off a Zal Mekayman, a Gemara, a Zohar, and he doesn't understand what he's saying, there's no Kiyam HaMitzvah at all. There is no text. It's all Bilvavcha. If the person doesn't understand the Torah Shebaalpeh, so there's no Kiyam HaMitzvah at all. You have to understand. You have to understand the full depth of what all the dinim are. You have to understand what the words, what the din is. Sure, what the words are. The Ramban has another suggestion. Kiyam HaMitzvah Zos doesn't go on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It goes on the mitzvah of Tshuva. Because right before it's talking about V'shavtu Ara Hashem Elokecha, that the Jewish people will do tshuva. Shamakecha Shevuscha, the Jewish people will do tshuva. So that's what it says. The mitzvah of tshuva is not such a difficult mitzvah. Everyone has the ability to do tshuva. We all have Bechira Chavshis. The Meshech Chachma by Sameach quotes from the Sefer by the Mabit. What's the name of the Sefer? Beis Elokim. He quotes from the Mabit, the Pshat and the Pasuk. Man was created B'Tzelem Elokim. What does it mean, B'Tzelem Elokim? God doesn't have a nose, he doesn't have a mouth, he doesn't have ears. So what does it mean, B'Tzelem Elokim? So it means Bechira Chavshis. And he says, the Mekubalim say the same. That just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not pressured into creating the world, he created the world, Yesh Me'ayin. Yesh Me'ayin out of nothing, Yesh Me'ayin, nothing pressuring him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes decisions without being pressured in one direction or the other. Pure Ratzon Hashem. So human beings, a normal human being, is not a shaita who has a Bechira Chavshis, is free to make decisions, and that's why all of us are held responsible for all of the decisions that we make. V'bacharta v'chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us achaim amavis. V'bacharta v'chaim. He tells us that we have Bechira Chavshis. Rav Soloveitchik suggests that Ibshat and the Rambam, when the Rambam quotes the principle of Bechira Chavshis and Hilchas Tshuva, so he doesn't call it Bechira. He calls it Rishus L'chol Adam Nesuna. Everybody has the ability to choose to do mitzvahs or averes. Why doesn't he call it Bechira? Rav Soloveitchik explained that Bechira means like Bechirot and Eretz Yisrael, the elections. So you go to the elections. So there are a few candidates running for each position. So you can choose from among the candidates who were presented to you. So that's Bechira Chavshis. So let's say the parents give me a choice. I can either go to this university or that university. I say, I don't want either. I want to go to yeshiva. My parents give me a choice, this yeshiva, that yeshiva. I say, no yeshiva. I'm going to go to Goyish University. I don't want to be observant at all. People have the ability to choose an option that was never given to them. That's more than Bechira Chavshis. That's what the Ram calls Rishus L'Chalad Nesuna. Everyone has, but not that you're not that you have the right to choose the wrong thing, you have the ability to choose. Some prominent rabbi published an essay, Bechira Chavshis, everybody is permitted to choose to do averes. You're not permitted to choose to do averes. You're going to burn again if you choose to do averes. You have the ability to choose to do averes. A lot of people think that they exercise the Bechira Chavshis even more if they choose to do averes. I'm going to show God who's boss. I have had such Bechira Chavshis, I even have the ability to choose to do against Ratzon Hashem. So some people think that that's more of an exercise of Bechira Chavshis. They used to tell a story here in America. This used to be a famous mashal that the wife invited the next door neighbors over to play canasta or whatever, some card game. So she screams to her husband, Maris, oh, the doorbell rings, and says, Maris, answer the door. So he answers the door. Maris, serve the cake. Maris, bring the plates. They're in the middle of playing the game. Everything, she tells the husband, all the instructions. Husband always listens. Then she says, in the middle of the card game, says, Maris, sit under the table. He goes, he sits under the table for 5 minutes. And she says, Maris, you can come out now. He doesn't come out. Then a minute goes by. She says, Maris, you can come out. He doesn't come out. So he waves his finger from under the table. He says, I'm going to show you who's boss. He's going to continue to sit under the table. So that's what a lot of people, we're going to show God who's boss. We're going to show him. We even have to do averus also. That's stupid. That's people's attitude. So that's people think that they show the Rabbanu Shalom who's boss by doing averus. That's an important parsha. Parshas Nitzavim, Bechira Chopshis, and you saw the Golem Elevet Shuvah, Haftikha Tosh, Sofim Shal Yisrael, Lasses Shuvah. There is an institution, a Masifim Mechoil Al HaKodesh, a whole Sugi in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes. The Gemara either learns that from Sukkim from Yom Kippur, or from Shemitah, Halachal Moshe Messina by Shemitah. Most of the Rishonim assume, Balei HaTosfos assume, hard to say most. Pashta says most of the Rishonim agree with the Balei HaTosfos. The Din of Tosefos applies to Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur and to Shnas HaShmita. The whole year has Kedusha. There's a Din of Masifim Echoyla LaKedush. Of Tosefos Kedusha. The Rambam Paskin, there's only Tosefos on Yom Kippur. And there are different opinions. The Stechemet quotes a Likud of all Achranim, so some interpret in the Rambam. On Yom Kippur, you're obligated to be Moisef Mechol Al HaKadosh, but every other Shabbos and Yontif, if you'll be Moisef, it'll be Chal Men HaTorah, but you're not Mechuyev to. Others interpret in the Rambam, it's not Chal Men HaTorah, but it's Chal Men HaRabbanan. And others say, no, the Rambam holds it's not, it doesn't exist. There's no Tosefos Men HaTorah, Men HaRabbanan, not at all, just on Yom Kippur, Shabbos Yontif, not. So that's why in Shulchan Aruch, and B'chaber writes, Yesh Omrim, and there are Shabbos and Yontif, aside from Yom Kippur, Yesh Omrim. It's always a mitzvah lehoyse mechol al kodesh because Machabe knows that the Rambam doesn't agree.
So maybe the Rishonim will hold that it is that the Tosefos applies to other holidays. That's on a
deraisa
level.
The Pashtus is on a deraisa level. Yeah, the simple reading in the Gemara and Daf Tes, you learn out from the Psukim by Yom Kippur. It says that you fast b'tisha lachodesh bo'erev on the 9th of Tishrei you fast. Late in the afternoon. We don't fast on the 9th, we fast on the 10th. The answer is, late in the afternoon, right before Yom Kippur enters, then you have to be Moshe Mechol Al HaKodesh. Then the Gemara learns that the Mamatzino, like told the same Kayetzabem, you learn the Mamatzino. That just like Yom Kippur has a Kedusha Zman and there's a mitzvah Lehoisif, Lefoneh and Liachreho, so the same is true regarding Shnas HaShmita and Shabbos and Yontav, every other Yontav. The Ma'aril raises a question, maybe Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin, it's bad enough that you have Din for 24 hours, but the Ben HaShmashas, who wants to have more Din? So maybe shouldn't be Moshe Mechol Al HaKodesh on Rosh Hashanah. What do you mean? The Gemara learned that from Psukim, there's a Din, Mitzvah L'Hoshe Mechol Al HaKodesh, so all of a sudden you come up with a newfangled idea, shouldn't apply to the Yom HaDin. So the Pashtus is Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has the Pashtus. The Maril didn't mean that you shouldn't be Moshe Mechol Al HaKodesh on Rosh Hashanah. He meant you shouldn't daven Ma'ariv early. That's what he meant. You shouldn't mention in the davening Yom HaZikaron Hazeh because it's a Yom HaDin. So don't talk about it. It should be Moshe Mechol Al HaKodesh, but you shouldn't talk about it in the davening. Daven late, daven after. They always daven after Tzeisach Chom on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Yeah, when do you bench licht? The women should bench licht considering Masifa Mechol Al HaKodesh. Rav Soloveitchik said that where he came from in Europe, the practice was that all year long they would bench licht 30 minutes before the Shkia. Because we assume, like the Baal HaTanya and the Vilna Gaon, that Bein HaShmashas begins right away at Shkia. The Gemara says that when you see Gimel Kochav and Beinoniyim, three average-sized stars, that's Tzeisach Chom, that's lighter. When you see Koichav Echod, until you see Koichav Echod, it's Vada Yom. When you see Koichav Echod, it's still Vada Yom. And then when you see Shnei Kochavim, then it's Ben HaShmashas. When you see Gimel Kochavim, then it's Tzeisach Kochavim. So where did this come from that you say right away at Shkia? You don't see any Ben HaNiyim. You see planets. You see big stars. You see planets right after the Shkia. But you don't see a kochav in Beinanim. So the Vilna Gaon explains there's a long Bi'ur HaGro in Reish Ayin Aleph I think in Siman about Hadlakas on there, something like Reish Samach Aleph, Reish Samach Gimel, wherever. So he writes that Gemara that says Kochav Echad is Yom and Shnei Kochavim is Bein Hashmashes, Gimel Kochavim is Laila. That's according to the Tana Rabbi Yossi, who holds that Bein Hashmashes is Keharef Ayin. That not, there isn't a block of time of 25 minutes solid, 20-25 minutes as Bein Hashmashes. Bein Hashmashes is a half a minute. So the difference between being able to see Shnei Kochavim and Shlosh Kochavim is a Keharef Ayin. It's a half a minute. So Tzvada Yom until you see Shnei Kochavim, then it's a Keharef Ayin. Then you're going to see right away, you're going to see Gimel Kochavim. But the Gemara says that it's a question, do we paskin like Rabbi Yossi? Mishnah Brura thinks that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. He has a questionable right. The Bir Halacha, he thinks the Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. But still, the Gemara says you should be machmer, but like both Shitas, like Rabbi Yudah, like Rabbi Yossi. You shouldn't do Malacha after the Shkia on Friday evening on the assumption that it's still Vada Yom. You have to at least be choshish for Rabbi Yudah's opinion. You have to, so when, according to Rabbi Yudah, when does Bein Hashmashes begin? So the Bava Tanya and the Vilna Gaon, they both say the same thing, that it begins at Shkia. So if you bought a B'mosa Mechol HaKodesh, so Rav Soloveitchik said where he came from, the practice was that the women would bench lech 30 minutes before the Shkia, except for Yom Kippur, they would light Neris Yom Kippur 60 minutes before. They have more to twice as much Tosefes. Why twice as much? So Pashtus is because the Rambam holds that Tosefes is only by Yom Kippur. So you mach memoir on Yom Kippur. So Rav Soloveitchik said as a child, he was always very inquisitive. That's why he grew in learning. He's always asking questions, how come this, how come that? So I said, as a child, they explained to him that the reason why it's twice as much is 30 minutes of surface for Moloche and 30 minutes of surface for Inuyim. And he said, it never made any sense to him. What do you mean? It's one Kedusha Sayyim, that's Mechayv and Inuyim and Moloche. How can you split between the two? What do you mean? You need 30 minutes of surface for this, 30 minutes of surface for that. He didn't understand that explanation. The Magen Mishneh has a comment on the Rambam that the Rambam only writes Tosefes by Yom Kippur. He never says on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So he says, according to the Rambam, even on Yom Kippur, there's only a din of Tosefes on Inuyim. There's no din of Tosefes on Issa Malach. And on Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's no Inuyim. So that's why there's no din of Tosefes. Even on Yom Kippur, that there is Tosefes, there's only Tosefes on Inuyim and not Tosefes on the Malach. So also Soloveitchik was not happy with that splitting hairs. He said, if there's Tosefes on Yom Kippur, it's one Kedusha Sayyam, that's Mechayev both. So the Tosefes should be both on Melocha and on Inuyim. And then he found that the Merkavos HaMishnah has that taina against the Magen Mishnah, that it doesn't make sense to say within the Rambam that the Tosefes on Yom Kippur is split, that it's only Tosefes for Inuyim and not for Melocha. Tosefes goes on everything. In America, the common practice is that the women light candles before 18 minutes before the Shkia. Some people think that they shouldn't light before that. They should light Dafka in the last 18 minutes. That's a misunderstanding of what the minig was. The minig was that the women finish all the malachas by 18 minutes before, and that's based on the opinion of the Urayim. Rav Lezer admits as an unusual opinion that what we call Shkia is really Laila, Tzeis HaKochavim, which is not reasonable. After the sun sets, you can't see any stars. And Bein HaShemashes says the last 18 minutes when the sun is still shining in broad daylight. So the last 18 minutes in a day, that's Bein HaShemashes. So you're not allowed to do Malacha Bein HaShemashes. That's an unusual opinion. So that's where this, that's probably, that's where this from. That's probably where this practice came from, that the women see to it that they light the candles by 18 minutes before the Shkia. But more, what makes more sense would be to be Moshe Mechayel al HaKadosh 30 minutes before. There is a Gemara in Beitza, Daf Laman, and Aleph, where the Gemara talks about Tosefes Shabbos. And Tosefes says from the Gemara it would appear that there's a minimum amount of time that you're supposed to be Moshe Mechayel al HaKadosh, but they can't figure out how much time it is. The Gemara doesn't say how much, but it sounds like there's some minimum amount of time. So there's a Tosefes Rabbeinu Peretz on that daf. For many years it was in manuscript. Now you don't need the manuscript. Now we have it printed. Rabbeinu Peretz writes, he thinks that it's 30 minutes. Samach l'shabbos, samach l'mincha gedol, samach l'mincha k'tan. Samach is always 30 minutes. So he says he thinks over here, Tosefes Shabbos l'faneho should be 30 minutes. You have other dinim where you have samach, samach levesta. So the Ramban writes on Shavuos, the after Zayin, samach levesta min haTorah, is a half an hour before the Shas HaVesos. If a woman has Vesos Kavua every 45 days, she has a Riyaz Dam at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so from 2:30 on, that's called min haTorah samach levesta. But the Rabbanim say the whole day is samach levesta, the whole oina. But on the level of the rice, it's not the whole oinus aves, it's just a half an hour before. So here also, the Rabbeinu Peretz seems to hold that samach l'shabbos, samach l'knisa shabbos, half an hour before, one should be moisim mechol al hakodesh. If you're moisim mechol al hakodesh 30 minutes before, that you can't daven tefillah schol, you can't daven mincha. So that bites always kedai to participate if you want to observe this view of the Rabbeinu Peretz, that's 30 minutes before, you should try to organize a daven mincha at an earlier minyan. On Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontov, Erev Yom Kippur, you should daven an earlier minyan.
So women should light candles 30 minutes before Shkianer?
More correct, they should finish all the malachas by 30 minutes before. Yeah. That's what the Rabbeinu Peretz says. On Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontov, there's clearly a Takanas Chachamim that Bamemadlikan, you should light Neiris. Erev Yom Kippur, there never was such a Takana. So there's a Perek Mokum Shenagu in the middle of Psochim, and the Mishnayos record different Minhogim, that some Mekomis they had this Minhag, some Mekomis they had the other Minhag. So Erev Yom Kippur, Hadlokas on Neiris, depends on the Minhag on Mokum. Mokum Shenagu Lahadlik Madlikim. Welcome, Shinoga, Shalala Hadlik, Emadlikim. Why isn't it the same as a regular Shabbos and Yontif, that there's a takana, a kvua, that you have to light Neris? So the Rishonim explained why, that the Iker takana Tadlokas on Neris is B'mokam Achilo, that when you eat the food, you should enjoy the meal. On Yom Kippur, there is no Achilo. So they never made a takana of Hadlokas on Neris. So why did such a meaning develop? The Gemara says the reason for the minig, both minhagim, makom shenagu ken lahadlik, makom shenagu shelo lahadlik, is all based on the same thing. One of the chamisha inuim is with married people. There's an iser tashmish amita. So in order not to violate tashmish amita, so the married people develop the minig. They light candles in the bedroom, and it's also the shamish mitasa l'oraner. And others had the minig farker. If you're going to see how good looking your wife is, so then you may have a desire for her on Yom Kippur. So Bedavki, you should not light any neiris, so you won't see how good looking she is. So the both minhagim are based on the same thing, but because it's a minig, unlike Shabbos and Yontov, that it's clearly a takana, so that's why there's a machlokes Ashkenazim and Sfardim, the one recites a brocha or not. Chatzi reciting Chatzi Hal on Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara tells us in the end of Tainus, Chatzi Hal on Rosh Chodesh is a minig. Rav Ikla LeBavel, Rav came to Bavel, he already had smicha, he was an adult already, and the Balabatim started saying Hal Rosh Chodesh, he thought they were crazy. He didn't know what was going on. Never heard of such a meaning. In Eretz Yisrael, he learned by Rabbi Yudah Anas, he got smicha. Never heard of such a meaning. We have the meaning, so on Chatzi Hal Rosh Chodesh, many Sfardim father, the Mechaber and the Rambam, that a broch is not recited. The Gemara says one recites a bracha shekadoshana b'mitzvah sab tzivanu, even if he's only observing a mitzvah midrabbanan. It's not benatar, you can still say kadoshana b'mitzvah sab tzivanu. But the question is, can you really say kadoshana b'mitzvah sab tzivanu on a minik? So the Ramos follows the Rabbeinu Tam, that you may say a bracha even on a minik. The Gemara seems to say that now. The Gemara says on chibat arov and al shana rabbe, is a debate in the Amaroim whether Chibat HaRov is a Minig Nevi'im or a Takanas Nevi'im. What's the difference? Halach Lamaisa. So the way it says in our Gemara, some other Rishonim have a different Girsa, but the way it says in our Gemara, the difference is whether one says a Bracha or not. So the Gemara says the Amaroim Chavit Chavit V'loid Baruch, they clapped the Hishayna, so they waved the Hishayna. Chibat HaRov, they didn't say a Bracha because Chibat HaRov is only a Minhog. So that's what the Mechaber writes, that one shouldn't say a bracha on Hadlokas on Eres on Erev Yom Kippur, unless it's Erev Yom Kippur, Yishchodi is B'Shabbos, then it's a Takon of Shabbos. And one shouldn't say a bracha on Chatzi Halam Rosh Chodesh. Ashkenazim, most of the Ashkenazim follow the opinion that you do say a bracha when one observes a minig. not all the Rishonim said a bracha on hadlokas on eris on erev Shabbos. Tosfos in the beginning of Bema Madlikin has a machlokas by Yosef. It's so poshut. We say the person is going to go benchlicht. Benchlicht, you sing right away. Benches to say a bracha. So by Yosef, it's a double poshut, you say a bracha. But Tosfos has two opinions about it. Half of the Balei Tosfos did not say a bracha, because the Gemara says, Shani Yomer, to answer a certain question on the mission. Shani Yomer, my opinion is that Halakas Neres Erev Shabbos is Chayvahi. What's the connotation of Chayvah? It's something you have to do, but it's not a mitzvah. You don't say a bracha. The Gemara says, my machreinim. My Rishonim is a mitzvah, my machreinim is a Chayvah. So Tosfos quotes early Rishonim. I think they quote the Bahag, that my Rishonim mitzvah, they say Brichas HaMitzvah. My machreinim Chayvah. It's something you have to do, but you don't say a bracha over it. So if the Gemara says Shani Yomer Hadlokas Haner Be'er Shabbos Chayva, perhaps it has a connotation. It's something you have to do, but you don't say a bracha. So that's half of the Balei HaTosfos did not say a bracha on Hadlokas Haner Haner Shabbos, and they say when we vacuum the rug and when you set the table and when you put up the shalom, when you take a shower for Shabbos, you don't say a bracha on all the other hakonis. So manish tana Hadlokas Haner is that you should say a bracha. So that's why many argued you don't say a bracha on any of the hachanas. Why should you say a bracha on hadlokas haneris? Rabbi Natam defends this practice that one does say a bracha on hadlokas haneris. He said there's a difference. If the elves would come and they'd set the table and vacuum the rug, there would be no mitzvah to make the rug dirty again and then clean the rug again. If it's clean, it's clean. If the table is set, it's set. If someone came and they brought all prepared, ready-made food for Shabbos, there's no mitzvah you should do it. Mitzvah bal yesem b'shlucha, okay, but someone did it already. They came and they presented everything, and everything was all set. So there's no mitzvah to undo it and to do it all over again. The one exception to the rule is hadlokas haneris. Tosfos says that if the lights are on in the house on Friday afternoon, usually the lights are on in the house. We have electric lights. Usually the lights are on in the house. So the Rabbeinu Tam says in Tosfos, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, you have to turn the lights out and then turn them on again, the Shem Shabbos. So since there's a specific maisa that's required by the Chachamim, Hadlokas Haneris, it's not like all the others. All the other Hachanis, to set the table and vacuum the rug and put up the chalms and everything, if it's taken care of, it's taken care of. But this one, even if it was taken care of, even if the lights are on anyway, you have to turn out the lights and light them again. So that's why there's a problem. A lot of the women don't know that. They have the chandelier is burning the whole time. Then they light two little candles and they say a bracha. What are they saying a bracha on the candles? The whole room is flooded with light. So they should close all the lights and then turn on all the lights to Shem Shabbos and then say a bracha on everything, on the candles and on the lights. It's not right to say a bracha when all the lights are on. Many women have the Gemara has a question in Erev in Daf Mem on the base. Does one recite Shechiyonu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Do you say Shechiyonu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? I mean, usually when you say Kiddush on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, you say Shechiyonu at the end. So Gemara says, Safek, what do you say Shechiyonu on Rosh Hashanah? No one remembers what they did last year. There's nobody alive in the Gemara who remembers what they did. Yesh Me'ayin. The Torah was given in the middle of the Tkufa, the Talmud Babli. Nobody remembered. How can it be? The Gemara says, no, everybody knows they always say Shechiyonu every year. The Gemara knows that Shechiyonu on a pre-chodosh is only a reshus, it's not a chayv. So the Gemara says that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is like Gora from a pre-chodosh. Of course you're going to say Shechiyonu. But Shechiyonu on a pre-chodosh is only reshus. So maybe Shechiyonu on Shabbos, maybe Shechiyonu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, maybe it's also only a reshus. Shechiyonu on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot is a chayv. But what about Shechiyonu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? What's exactly the Nekudas HaSofik? Why should Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur be different from the Sholos Regalim? So some of the Rishonim explain on that daf and Erev and daf Mem on the base that the Sofik in the Gemara was whether there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So Machta B'Chagecha says on Sukkot, and then Sholos Regalim, Pesach Shavuot Sukkot all have the same din of Chagim. The term Chag is a technical term in Chumash. It means a yontif on which one brings a korban chagiga. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you don't bring a korban chagiga. So it can't apply b'samachta b'chagecha. So the question is, but maybe still, maybe the mitzvah of Simcha extends not only to Chagim, when you bring a korban chagiga, maybe even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So this is really a machlokes hatanoim and a mishnah. Rav Soloveitchik always used to say. Shagasari has an essay about this. Is there a chiyuv simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So Rav Soloveitchik every other year would talk about this topic, and he would point out it's a machlokes hatanoim and a mishnah might cut. And the din is that if one is in the middle of observing Shiva Shloshim Avelus and Yontav comes. So if one is in the middle of Shiva, so the Yantav cancels the Shiva. One is in the middle of Shloshim, the Yantav cancels Shloshim. Why does it cancel? So Tosis on that daf, in the end of Ma'id Katan, quotes from the Yerushalmi that on Yantav there's a mitzvah of Simcha. Well, this the Bavli says. The Gemara says. The Bavli says that on Yantav there's a mitzvah of Simcha, and Avelus and Simcha is a contradiction. You can't have both at the same time. So also Yesed the Rabbim Medoche Yesed the Yochid. Yesed the Rabbim, all of Klal Yisrael, all over the world is observing Simchas Yontif, and Avelus is Yesed the Yochid. So the Yesed the Rabbim of Simcha takes precedence. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a machlokes in the Mishnah whether it cancels Avelus or not. So that's exactly the machlokes whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur has a chiyuv Simcha or not. So how do we paskin there? So there the Gemara says we paskin that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur do cancel Avelus. So what is it philosophize about? So there you have it, that the dinners of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur has a chiyuv simcha. The answer is we have a klal, halachic divrei mekel ba'ovel. Whenever there's a machlokes hatanoim, and it's even if the machlokes is not in Hilchos Avelus, here it's a machlokes in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, whether there's a mitzvah of simcha or not, but it becomes relevant. Avelus, the minute it becomes relevant to Avelus, we say whenever there's machlokes, you go lekula. So that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur cancel Avelus, that we know that's a din. But the question is that b'toras sofik halachik that ma'amekal ba'ovel? Is that b'toras vaday? Nafkamina, what do you say, Shechiyonah? So the Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem and Beis comes to the conclusion one does say Shechiyonah. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you do say Shechiyonah. Then the Gemara says, how are you going to say Shechiyonah on Yom Kippur? There is no cup of wine. We always say Shechiyonah over ala kos. So on Rosh Hashanah you say at the end of the Kiddush, when are you going to say Yom Kippur? So maybe you say Yom Kippur and you won't drink the wine. The Gemara says, so then you're not Yotzei Bracha ala kos. You only enhance the significance of the Bracha if you say over a cup of wine and somebody drinks the wine. But no one's going to drink the wine. Baruch Sol Sheyitam. Nobody takes a sip of the wine, so it's not considered a Bracha ala kos. So the Gemara says, all right, we'll give it to a child. We'll give it to a young child who's way before Bar Mitzvah, who's going to eat anyway. So the Gemara said that's a very bad idea because the child is going to grow up later in life and he's going to remember after his Bar Mitzvah, the rabbi gave me the wine on Yom Kippur, so he'll think he's allowed to drink. Rabbi Rapp every so often goes to Denver to function as a rabbi in a shul there. So he said a couple of years ago, Yom Kippur fell down on Shabbos. The Chazam was going to say Kiddush over a cup of wine in the shul. And he thought he was kidding. And then he wasn't kidding. He really, the Chazam thought that you really, on a regular Yom Kippur, you don't say Kiddush. Yom Kippur, Shechali is B'Shav, he's got to say Kiddush. So, and Rabbi Rapp is a big kibbutzer. So, till really explained, he's not kibbutzing. You don't say Kiddush. You don't say Kiddush. So the Gemara says, Yom Kippur, you have no choice. But Rosh Hashanah, because we're going to say Kiddush al Yayin, same thing on Shalosh Regalim. Pesach Shavuot is really Shachyanu is called Zman, Bracha of Zman. Shachyanu became La Zman Azeh. So the Bracha of Zman, I'm Rafila Bashuk. You can even say the Bracha when you're walking in the street. It doesn't necessarily have to be recited over a cup of wine, but you enhance the chashivas of the Bracha if you do recite it over a cup of wine. So that's why we save the Shachyanu till on Yom Kippur night we have no choice. So you say Shachyanu and Shul, you have to call Nidre. But on the other Yamim Taivim, we save the Shachyanah till the end of the Kiddush. And that's why Rabbi Kivege quotes from Rabbi Yankev Hemden that it's not really proper. Many women have the practice, and when they do have Lokas HaNeiris, they say Shachyanah. The men could also say Shachyanah and Shul after Maariv. You can say Shachyanah and Shul, but we choose not to because we want to enhance the Hashivas of the Bracha by reciting Shachyanah Walakos. So why should the women cheat themselves? Why should the women say Shachyanu not Talakos? It really is not right. But it's very hard to argue with the women. So my wife gave in to me. My wife gave in. I said, just rely on me. Because the last day's Pesach, you don't say Hashem. The last day's Sukkot, you do say Shechem. It's the government know when you do, when you don't. So I said, just rely on me. I'll say the Shechem. But most women insist that they don't want you to steal the Shechem from them, that their mother said Shechem when they benched Lich, but their mother did wrong. More correct is not to say Shechem when you benched Lich.
I heard Rabbi doesn't have you light second day
Yom Tov. Second day Yom Tov is a problem. Because Rabbi and Tom said the only reason why we say bracha on Hadlokas HaNeiris is because that's a Maisa Mesuyim. If the lights are on, you have to turn the lights out and turn them on again. So the second day, whenever you have 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row, so you can't turn out the lights. So what do? So some people arrange the Shabbos clock, the lights go out for 15 minutes, and then they say bracha when the room is dark. I don't know if you're mechuyev to do that. Very nice if you do. I don't know if you're mechuyev to do that. So the pashtus is, if the whole room is flooded with light, so what are you going to say? A bracha on more candles. You don't accomplish anything. Years ago, they didn't have chandeliers. They didn't have a whole room was not flooded with light. It wasn't a century ago. When I was a little boy, my family lived in Philadelphia, and the day school only went to the fifth grade. So when I was 10 years old, my parents had to send me to New York. I stayed with my grandparents. So my grandmother, when she benched licht on Erev Shabbos, the whole room was dark. She didn't leave on. They couldn't afford to leave the lights on. They lit on the candles, and that was it. When the candles went out, the whole apartment was dark. My grandparents left a little light in the bathroom in case you had to go to the bathroom. That was it. And in the daytime, if you wanted to read, you would read by the window. And if it was raining outside or cloudy outside, you couldn't read. It was dark in the room. You couldn't read. They didn't have the lights on. Abosha Weiss has a tshuva about this. He says, nah, that was always the minhag. The women always bench licht. He doesn't see what's wrong. The women always bench licht, even though the chandelier's on. The women, they could never afford to leave a chandelier around. They didn't have any lights on. What are you talking about? He's younger than me. When he was born, everybody had all the lights on. But I remember, when I was born, we didn't have the lights on. It was dark in the house. You lit the candle, you said a bracha, because you're illuminating the room. But if you have all the lights on, you can't say a bracha. That is an issue.
Why didn't he get the nail on?
Why what?
Why is it any different now when women light an Erev Shabbos or Yom Tov Rishon, so all the lights are on in the house?
So you have to turn out the lights and turn them on, L'shem Shabbos.
And why is that different than Yom Tov Sheni, making the bracha after the lights go out? Rabbi said Yom Tov Sheni, so there's nothing to be accomplished by waiting for the lights go out to make a bracha.
Yom Tov Sheni, the whole room is lit up already. So you can't turn out the lights and turn them on L'shem Shabbos, L'shem Yom Tov, so you shouldn't light candles. Shouldn't say a bracha on the second day Yom Tov. The whole room is lit up already. Tosfos says the only reason why you say a bracha on Hadlokas HaNeiros as opposed to any other hachana, because this is a particular hachana that the Chachamim introduced. If the room is flooded with lights, you turn out the lights and you turn it on again the Shem Shabbos. But here you can't. If you have 2-3 days in a row, you can't do that.
And there would be no value in just doing Hadlok without a bracha.
It's a ner shel avtola. You're doing a malacha on Yom Tov, so it's permissible to do a malacha if it's l'tzorach ha'chanefesh or l'tzorach ha'yom k'tzas. This is called a ner shel avtola. A guy lights a candle that's absolutely useless. It has no function at all. Many people have the practice that when they have yard site, they light a candle for the whole day, and on the day on which you recite Yisker, so out of respect for their parents, they're saying Yisker to the parents, so they light candles. So the kids of Shulchan Aruch has this shaila. Are you allowed to light the yahrzeit candle? In Chutz Laretz, in Eretz Yisrael, there's only 1 day Yom Tov. So they light the yahrzeit candle before Yom Tov. But in Chutz Laretz, we say Yizkor on the second day Yom Tov. Are you allowed to light the yahrzeit candle on the second day Yom Tov? No one's going to gain any usage out of it. It's what Tosfos calls a ner shel avtola. Tosfos and Beitz quotes Yerushalmi. You're not allowed to light a ner shel avtola. You're lighting and doing a malach of havara shalot tzarach klal. So some hold, no, there is a tzarach, you're fulfilling kibbut aviyem. Way to fulfill kibbut aviyem is, you shouldn't give your parents a heart attack when they're alive. You should be an obedient son. You should be mechaber them while alive, not to wait till they drop dead. And then you light a candle on your side. You light a candle. Well, usually the children feel guilty when the parents died because they never treated them nicely. So they spend $20,000 for a coffin. Don't spend $20,000 for a coffin. bury them without a coffin, give the money to tzedakah, treat the parents nicely while they're alive. So that's a shaila. Is that considered the litzorach, to light the candle on the day on which you're going to say yisker? That's litzorach kibud aviyim. So the kids of Shulchan Aruch not so convinced that it's litzorach.
Quoted in the footnotes, I think in Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, they have for Saffron Shomazam Arba that Abba's man said you shouldn't light Shabbos candles because it's not adding any light. So he says that you really should, because the Grub says that he learns in the Rambam and there's din of covet and his Erev Shabbos earning is on Shabbos. And he says Shabbos candles are both because they're both covet and owning, because they do an Erev Shabbos but it goes into Shabbos. Abba's man says it's not adding any light. So he says, Rishon Zalman says, no, it is adding because it adds to the ambience.
That's a question, yeah. Is that enough?
So maybe according to Rishon Zalman, this man is a Yom Tov Sheni as well. It still adds to the ambience.
Could well be. It's possible. Yeah.
The
Rambam writes that the four mitzvahs on Shabbos, two in Chumash and two in the Rekabola. He says Zachar B'Shemes and Chumash and Kibud V'Yom Dibur Kabbalah. The Rambam says all four carry over to Yom Tov. The Rambam is very famous. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara affairs that Kibud V'Yom Gaoli on Shabbos is not on Yom Tov. So the Beis Halevi points it out, but somehow the Rambam won. Everybody knows the Rambam. There's a din of Kibud V'Yom Gaoli Yom Tov, just like that. Everybody forgot the Gemara. Gemara affairs it. There's no din of Kibud V'Yom Gaoli Yom Tov. I don't know. It is an issue. It is an issue. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber talks about a situation where you have two families eating in the same dining room. So the Mechaber writes, the mother of one household lights the candles first. So whoever lights first has a bracha. One who lights second can't say a bracha because the room is lit up already. So you can't say a bracha if you light second. Then the Rama says, we don't follow that opinion. We do say a bracha, even for the second one who lights in the same room. So the Magen Avraham says, he quotes from the Shalor, that's only if one lights at one end of the table, her family is going to sit at that end, the other family is going to sit at the other end. So because it's in a different menorah, it's in a different candlestick, and there's more tasevus or of a simcha because of the fact that you lit a candle here, you have two candles over here, so it's a little dark over there, you have two candles here, so there's more light there. But the question is, if the whole room is flooded with light from the chandelier has 25 little bulbs in it, so what are you adding this Tosefes Or V'Simcha by adding the candle? So that's the question. There's more ambiance. So that's the question. Is that really enough to enable one to say a bracha? So many assume that yes, but not so glut. It's not so obvious that should be the din. So that's we passing that there is a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs has a whole essay where he explains that the reciting of Hallel, he tries to explain the opinion of the Halachas Gedolos. The Bahag is a Sefer HaMitzvahs. Halachas Gedolos lists off all the Taryag Mitzvahs, and he includes in the Taryag Mitzvahs the mitzvah to recite Hallel. So the Rama makes fun of the Bahag and says everybody knows Hallel is only with the Rabbanan, and it doesn't make sense to include the mitzvahs, the Rabbanan, and the Minyan mitzvah. So the Ramban comes to defend the Bahag. He says maybe the Bahag thinks that Hallel on Yom Tov is the Raisa. Why so? So he says Hallel is a chelik of the mitzvah of Simcha, Simchas Yom. And that's how he interprets the whole Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud, but the Gemara talks about reciting Hallel. Everything revolves about this topic. Is there that there's an inyan of simcha? So once you say that in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur there is a mitzvah of simcha, and that's why we recite Shehechiyonu, so maybe we should say Halal on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says the Malach HaYashar says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how come the Jewish people are not reciting Halal on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Baruch Shalom says no, the Jewish people are acting properly. Since Sefer Chaim Sefer Meisim Suchim Lefanai, it's not the right time to recite Hallel. So the Rambam, when he quotes that Gemara, he says that not Yemei Simcha Yisera, the Yamim Naroim, there is Simcha, but it's not Simcha Yisera. So therefore, one doesn't recite Hallel. So there is a question: is there an Issa Tainus on Rosh Hashanah on Yom Kippur? We do fast. if there's a mitzvah of simcha, so usually in simcha lebasar and simcha lebiyayin, you have to eat and drink and be merry. So if you say once you say on Rosh Hashanah there's a mitzvah of simcha, means that you're not allowed to fast. And we assume it's not proper to fast on Rosh Hashanah, but many goyim are of the opinion that it's permissible. It's not yemei simcha yisera; it's a different kind of simcha. So it's somehow that it is mutter to fast. So even though we don't paskin like that, but we have two halachas that are based on the premise that we're not so convinced that it's an issa tain. One is that normally the Baal HaTosis had a practice, a chumrah, that on Shabbos and Yantav you have to make kiddush in the morning before Chatzos. Even though you want mekabel tainus, but if you're not going to eat until after Chatzos, by definition you already made the day into a tonus. So you have to make kiddush before Chatzos. But on Rosh Hashanah and Yeshiva they daven till doomsday. They don't get to eat till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So you're fasting till after Chatzos. And many yeshivas they introduce that you make kiddush before Tkiya Shofar. So that's a shaila. You're not supposed to eat before you shake a lulav. That's a Mishnah in Sukkah. You're not supposed to eat before you shake a lulav, before any mitzvah shezman or iveris. So how are you allowed to eat before you blow shofar? The Gemara says before musaf you're allowed to have a snack, but you're not allowed to have a full-blown meal before musaf. But to have a little kiddush you're allowed to. But the shaila is on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to blow shofar, so maybe you're not allowed to have a kiddush. So the pashtus, we assume that te'ima is mutter. You're not allowed to eat a full-blown meal before you shake a lulav or before you blow shofar, but te'ima is mutter, so the kiddush is mutter. Before Moshe Feinstein came on the scene here, the big pesach in New York, this is before my time, I was a little baby. So the big pesach in New York at that time used to be Rabbi Henkin. So it was Yodua, he published, and he always every year. He would tumult about this. He said that they're not doing right in the yeshivas. You're not allowed to make kiddush before Tkiya Shofar. And if you're concerned that the people won't be able to daven until 3 o'clock if they're fasting, so he said, so make kiddush in the middle of the tkiyas. He thought that that's better. We have a chumrah from the Rif, from the Rishayim, that you don't talk. From the time the Baal Tekiyah says the Baruch Lishma Kol Shofar till the end of the whole Tkiyah Shofar, the end of Musaf, we don't talk at all. And some are of the opinion that if you did talk, you have to repeat the bracha. So we passing, you don't repeat the bracha. That's the Rif in the end of Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Henkin said, if the people are starving and they're afraid that they won't be able to have kavanah when they daven, so let them make kiddush in the yeshivas. They should make kiddush after the Tkiyah, the Miyushav, before they begin to daven Musaf. His suggestion was never accepted, but he was much older. He died at a very old age. He was much older than all of the other Rabbanim. So whenever he would meet one of the Rabbanim in Chodesh Elul, he would always wish them, make sure you don't make Kiddush before Tkiyah Shofar. Every year the same pismah. Make sure you make Kiddush in between the Tkiyah, the Miyushav, and the Tkiyah, the Miyushav. No one ever listened to him. Okay, so Lemaise, he was outvoted. But that's an issue.
What's the definition of a te'ima? How much as well?
Not a full meal. You're still hungry.
So one could eat more than a beitzah of
zonos, right? Yeah. As long as you're still hungry, then it's only called te'ima. So we have two kulas based on the fact that there was such a shita sagan. One kula is, when I'm makpid for chatzos. A lot of times if you think that you're not going to come home till after chatzos, you should have a drink of water before shachris. There's a machlokes. You're not allowed to eat before you daven shachris. What about water? So we're mekel, we adopt the lenient position, it's permissible. There are those old, you're not allowed to drink water before. So we're mekel on that. So if you think you're going to miss chatzos, you should have a drink of water before you go to daven shacharis. If it's Rosh Hashanah, so then we're mekel that you're allowed to fast till after chatzos, because according to the Gaon, you're allowed to fast all day long. And the other issue is, if one benches on Yontif and he forgets Yalav Yavai, bench on Shabbos and you forget Fitzei, so the Gemara says you have to bench over again. Not that you're not yotzei the benching, but there's pashtus in the Gemara. You're not yotzei the Suda Shabbos, you're not yotzei the Suda Shyantif. To be kaver, the Suda, as a Suda Shabbos, the Suda Shyantif, you have to have Kiddush before, and Kiddush Alabak Masuda, then you have to bench in the mention. The Haskaris Kedushas Hayam in the benching. On Rosh Hashanah, if the Goyim say it's permissible to fast, so you don't have to have any meal, so you don't have to be kaver the Suda, the Shem Suda Shyantif. So if one forgot Yalav Yavai, you wouldn't tell him that he should bench over again. So that's what we're makel on that. If Rosh Hashanah one benches and he forgot Yalviyavu, he would tell him he shouldn't bench over again, because maybe he was Yotze, because they're benching a Yotze anyway, and maybe there is no Chiyav Suda. So many Achreidim say, but this whole story is only Rosh Hashanah in the daytime. Leil Rosh Hashanah, no one holds it. The din, the mishpat, is only bayom. There's no mishpat balaylo. So bayom there's mishpat. So then the Goyim recommend it's an inyan to fast. But leil Rosh Hashanah you should eat. And if one forgot Yalav Yov and the Bichas Hamazon, leil Rosh Hashanah we would say you should bench over again.
Is there a
chiyuv suda on Rosh Chodesh? There's an isa tainus. You're not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh. But there's no chiyuv suda. So if a person forgot Yalav Yov on Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara said we wouldn't tell him that he has to repeat the Birch Samazen. But he's not allowed to fast. Yeah. But on Rosh Hashanah, the Goyim held that you're allowed to fast.
I would be different than any other Rosh Chodesh.
But on Rosh Hashanah we follow this opinion a little bit. But you get to not eating, making Kiddush before Chatzos, but Mekel on that. You can wait to make Kiddush till after Chatzos. And we'll Mekel if you forgot Yalav Yov, that you don't repeat the bench, because maybe there was no Chiyuv Suda.
I heard someone that the Hasidei Ashkenaz would fast on one of the days of Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah. There were all kinds of Minhagim years ago. Yes, Nachon. On the second night, Rosh Hashanah, there's a big machlokes, the Rosh quotes, whether one says Shachyonu or not. Why? The second night Pesach, second night Shavuot, second night Sukkot is a Yontav Sheni, is we treat it like a Sveka de Yoyma. So maybe yesterday was Erev Yontav and today is really Yontav. Even though we know we have Rebaki be Kriya de Yacha, but that was a Takonas Chachamim. Yizar be Minigav Sech Medech. So you say Shachyonu on the second night of Yontav also. But the second night, Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Achas. We call it Yom Arichta. Rashi has that Loshen. Yom Arichta. The Gemara doesn't have that Loshen. The Gemara calls it Kedusha Achas. So that's a big machlokes of Rishonim. It's Kedusha Achas Lechumra, or even Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. Do you treat it, it's both Kedusha Achas and Sveka de Yoyma? So you go Lechumra both directions. So then maybe it is a Sveka de Yoyma. So you should say Shachyanim. Or they say, no, it's Kedusha Achas, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. So you already experienced the Rosh Hashanah the first day. There is no Sveka de Yoyma. So you shouldn't say Shachyonah the second day. So that's a big machloikis, whether you say Shachyonah. We Paschal Halacha, you do say Shachyonah on the second day Rosh Hashanah in Kiddush, and we say on Tkiyah Shefer also. The Sfardim don't say Shachyonah the second day Rosh Hashanah on Tkiyah Shefer. And Broyas, they have Broyas, they're real Yekis, they have all the Sfardishim in Hogan. They don't know exactly why. Whenever they're two Haftarahs, they say the Haftarah of the Sfardim. Second day Rosh Hashanah, they don't say Shachyonah unless the first day was Shabbos. Then they didn't blow Shofar yesterday. But the first day was Chol and they blew Shofar, they don't say Shachyonah on the second day. Same thing, Mikra Megillah. So the Sfardim don't say Shachyonah on Mikra Megillah by Yom. And the Ramah says, we follow Taisus, that you do say Shachyonah, even though you read the Megillah Balayla. So in Broyas, they follow, the Maril has this, that they didn't say Shachyonah, Amikr Megillah Bayam. They follow a lot of Minhagim from Minhagim Sfarah. But by the Ashkenazim, we do say Shachyonah on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So there was a new concept that's introduced into Psak Halacha at the time of the Hasidi Ashkenaz, that Yehoshua is for all the Shittas. So one of the examples was the Maharam Rutenberg, was that period, the end of the Balei Hataisis period. So he introduced this practice that on the second day Rosh Hashanah and the second day Rosh Hashanah by Tkiyah Shofar, because it's a machlokes, but it says Shachyanu or not, you should have a pri chodesh on the table, have a begat chodesh, so the Shachyanu is in place anyway. If he said Kiddush, And then he says Shachyana because of a Picharash, that's really a Hepsik in between the Kiddush and the drinking of the wine. So the answer is the Shachyana is not a Hepsik because Bipaskan you do say Shachyana. But it's a Hashash Brachal of Atala. So to take care of the Brachal of Atala, say you have a Picharash or a Beget Charash. But if it's only because of the Picharash, then it would be a Hepsik in between. So really the Psak Halach is that you do say Shachyana. The Ninkatcher, the one who wrote the Shalas and Chuvas, but this is a bizoyan to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is such a lofty day, such an important day. In Mikra Adin, you say Shachyanu on the second day. We pass, and if you don't have a Pi Chodesh, a Beg the Chodesh, you say Shachyanu anyway. So because of his Sufik Bracha, so you take a little fruit. You don't know what the fruit is. It tastes awful. You're not used to it. You don't know which way it grows. And that enables me to say Shachyanu on the Yantav of Rosh Hashanah. So he thought he didn't like this institution for the Maharam Ritmak, so he, on principle, didn't want to use a Beg the Chodesh or Pri Chodesh. But most people do. Most people follow. This was the Maharam Ritmak introduced this in different instances that are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. I think there are more than 10 cases. Rabbi Kanefogel once gave me an essay that he published years ago where he collected all the different places in the Shulchan Aruch. I think there are more than 10 places where they quote these ideas from the Maharam Ritmak that to satisfy all the opinions that you should do things like this. Then you look in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah did it. He multiplied it by 1,000. Every other page in the Mishnah Berurah tells you to do it like this to satisfy that opinion, to satisfy the other opinion. Maharam Ritmak didn't do it that much. But this was pointed out, this idea, this new theme in Psak Halacha to try to satisfy all the opinions, this was pointed out in the Tshuva and the Mishkan Es Yankiv. You had a correspondence with the Rebbe Ephraim Zalman Margolius about making all the Eruvin in Europe. So he has a footnote in the middle of the Tshuva, so he writes that the Hasidi Ashkenaz introduced this new theme into Psak Halacha, that you try to be choshish for all the different opinions. There's a din in the Chumash, Losa Nachshav, Losa Anena. You're not allowed to be superstitious. At the time of Matan Torah, there was so much of it. It's already going on, and all the superstitions are connected with, were connected with that word, Zohar. So the Rosh Hashanah told us not to be superstitious. The Jewish people at that time were at the forefront of fighting against Nichush, against superstitions. Today, it looks, you look around the whole world, the Jews are the most superstitious. That's terrible. We're supposed to be at the forefront fighting against doing away with superstitions. So the Gemara has a different place, and the Gemara talks about the minig that they have is Mana Gemara, to eat different fruits and vegetables on Leil Rosh Hashanah as a siman toif. So what do you mean? If you dip your apple in honey, then you're going to have a sweet year. If you don't dip that, you're not going to have a sweet year. Mazeh. What's the connection one to the other? So the Gemara says Chas v'Shalom. That's nichush if you have such an attitude. It's a siman toif. When a girl gets married, she wears a white gown. She can wear a gown with polka dots. She can wear an orange gown. You can have, who says you have to have white tablecloths? So you can have black tablecloths. You can have gray tablecloths. White is a symbol of purity. So the kala wears a white gown. You have white tablecloths. Very nice. It doesn't mean that if you don't have a white gown, it's not going to be a happy marriage. And do have a white gown, it is going to be a happy marriage. A siman yofeh. So you do a siman yofeh on Leil Rosh Hashanah, but it's not a violation of nichush because we don't place our hopes on this siman. Not that we assume because we're having the siman, therefore we're going to have a good year.
So the hiratzon, as the people say often with their Rosh Hashanah Seder, it's just a standing hiratzon alongside the symbol. It has nothing to do with the maisa itself.
The Nesivus in his Sefer Nachlas Yaakov has quite a few swarm. In the Sefer, he thinks that the tefillah is the ikar. He thinks we should offer tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah, and he says just like the Ramban Alata, he has a chiddush. Just like the Ramban Alata develops a new idea that in the Nevi'im, the two types of Nevu'ah, sometimes an obvious told a Nevu'ah, he says what's going to be in the future, and sometimes you have a Nevu'ah with a poil dimyon. That's the expression that the Ramban coins. The Navi is told, sleep on your left side, sleep on the right side, or eat the disgusting bread. The Navi is told to act something out. So just like, and the Ramban says, whenever it's a Nevuah with a Pearl Dimion, then it's a stronger Nevuah. That's not going to be revoked. So he thinks that the same is true regarding, perhaps, regarding Tefillah. That there's a plain Tefillah, then there's a Tefillah with a Pearl Dimion. So he says, maybe acting out the simonim strengthens the tefillah, maybe that makes it into a stronger tefillah. So he says the ikar really is not so much to have the fruits and the vegetables, but rather to say the tefillah. And the acting out is mechazik the tefillah, elevates it to a higher level of tefillah. That is his suggestion.
That's not nichush.
And that's not nichush. That tefillah is tefillah. You know that tefillah is tefillah. And if you act it out, some people talk with their hands a lot. Some people don't talk, and they don't shake their hands at all. So if you daven and you explain to Rabbi Shlom what you want, and you even dip the apple in the honey, you know, like this, so he understands it better. You machazik the tefillah. You explain it better.
So that means you don't need to eat anything in order to say, because I'll be here, it sounds just straight without eating anything.
You can do that too. Yeah, you can do that too.
Also, how do we define exactly being superstitious? Because like, if we believe in like ayin hara and like different things, and that, I don't know, Gemara talks about different times that are.
Gemara talks about ayin hara. Ayin hara is not considered. Yeah.
So what is the line? Like, what exactly is superstition or nifush, as we define it?
When something. There's no logical connection between one thing and the other. That's superstition. Ayin hara, the Tanakh, the Chumash says you have to act properly to other people, because if you'll be mean to the Yosem Almana, Kora Lecha Lashem, Hoye B'chochet, if you'll call out to God, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish you because you're mean to them. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, and if he doesn't call out to God, God is not going to punish you. If you were mean to them, so you deserve to be punished. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, Shalom, if someone cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that person ba'avled me, so you stand a better chance of being punished min HaShemayim than if they wouldn't have called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So an Ayin Hara, the Gemara assumes that there's such a concept of Ayin Hara. It's an implicit curse, it's an implicit tefillah. The other fellow is so happy. He has a happy marriage, and he has a parnas, and he has covet, and he has children, and I don't have anything. He doesn't deserve all that. He does a lot of averis. I deserve it better than him. So a lot of times this goes through people's minds. They see, usually on, I have 9 children. So our children, we used to go on Yontav, we used to go to the park over here in the neighborhood, every Yontav, and our children used to be dressed very beautifully, they're very neat and everything. Every Yontav, some of the kids would get sick. And we were sure that it was a Ayin Hara, because all of our children acted properly, and they were all dressed beautifully, and people gave us a Ayin Hara, that they felt that they deserved this joy in life, and they deserved this happiness, and they felt I didn't deserve it. Maybe they're right, but that's an implicit tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it's not fair. How can we give him all the happiness and all the covet and a good-looking wife and everything, and well-dressed children and everything? Ayin Hara is whenever others see one person's success in life and they feel bad about it, they feel hurt. So implicitly they're offering a prayer to Ribbono Shel Olam that they should take away all the blessings from me and they should get the blessings. So that's Ayin Hara is based on what it says in the Chumash. Yeah. We assume there is such a thing as Ayin Hara. The Gemara says that 99% of the people who die dead in the cemetery, 99% of the people die from Ayin Hara. And 1% die from sicknesses. That's how the Gemara says, yeah.
When you do Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah the second night, so if you're using a pre you don't have during the rest of the year, so you're making the Shechianu though, and you're not eating the pre right away, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is it on the pre?
Medina the Gemara says Shechianu when you see the fruits sold in the store, even if you're allergic to it, even if you can't afford it, even if you're not going to buy it. Mrs. Vilna Goyen, on the first day Rosh Hashanah, showed her husband what she bought for the Shechianu on the second day. So he said, right away, Shechianu. She showed it to him. So he said, right away, Shechianu. And then when it came the second day, he said, Shechianu in the Kiddush, because we paskan la'alacha, that he said, Shechianu in the Kiddush. Machlokes, so he said, Shechianu. I remember once Rabbi Soloveitchik guessed his wife on the first day Rosh Hashanah. He invited me over to eat by him. I remember after the davening, he was introducing me to his wife. And he says, I was visiting by my aunt and uncle in Boston. So he said, the young man is visiting by his aunt and uncle, whom they knew. And he says, let's have him over for a meal on Rosh Hashanah. So she said, no, the young man will enjoy it better by his aunt and uncle. And he said, no, he'll enjoy it better by us. So I didn't understand what the machlokes was till I got there. Because when we were walking home, Rabbi Soloveitchik was walking with a whole group of men with him. And Mrs. Halevi was walking with a whole group of women with her. Then we got to the home, there was a little table, and Rav Soloveitchik's niece was there. Mrs. Soloveitchik's niece was there. So I was sitting opposite the single niece, and she was sitting opposite her husband. So he felt that I should meet the niece. And Mrs. Soloveitchik felt that it's a horse and a cow. The shidduch is not going to go, and she was right. The girl was a few years older than me, and she married a nice religious doctor. She wasn't going to marry a batlan or a yeshiva guy. And I remember the next day, I ate by the Meiselmans, so, and they knew already about this attempted shidduch. So I said, the girl is a few years older than me, so Mrs. Meiselman, Rabbi Meiselman's mother, said, but in our family, we have a family tradition, you can marry a girl who's a few years older than you also, because the Netziv was much younger than his wife. He got married right after his bar mitzvah, and his wife was 16 or 17 or something, then she was a few years older than him, his first wife. Second wife was something like 35 years younger than him, but the first wife was the daughter of Rabbi Tzala Balozhina, so she was older than him. So that's what, that was her comment. In our family, nothing wrong with marrying a girl who's older than you. Yeah. I remember at that meal, Mrs. Soloveitchik told her husband, you should go take a nap, because he was standing the whole time by them. So he said, no, Rosh Hashanah, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you don't go to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. So he fell asleep sitting in his chair. After the benching, he fell asleep sitting in his chair like this, and we had to tiptoe out of the house, not to wake him up. Yeah. Hey, we have a minig that we go to, some people have a minig, Shulchan Aruch has, you go to Mikvah Ner Rosh Hashanah, go to Mikvah Ner of Yom Kippur. What is this all about? So the real reason that the Rishonim give is that there's Ezra made a takana that a Balkari is not allowed to daven, not allowed to learn. So then they did away with takana says with respect to learning. They allowed a Balkari to learn. But what about davening? Did they do away with the takana or not? So that's machlokes, the Rambam and the Raivis. So the Rambam says the takana was abolished, fell apart by itself. The Rambam doesn't say they abolished it, it fell apart by itself. And the whole takana is no longer binding, and you don't have to go to mikveh for davening either. The Rambam himself writes in the tshuva, "Ani meir alai shemayim ba'aretz," that I always go to mikveh before I daven, and my ancestors always did like that, and I continue. That's interesting. If the takana fell apart by itself, so why is he still observing the takana? Apparently, they made the takana and it fell apart because it was the gzeirah shani rabati bichadam lamed by. But there really should have been such a takana. So that's what the Kesa Mishnah says. Since there really should have been, so there is, it is Amidas Chasidus to still go to mikveh before you daven. The Chasidim are doing the right thing. The Chasidim are following the Rambam, that they go to mikveh before they daven. Okay? So in the Ravid, we don't have a Hasagas Ravid on the page, but the Rosh quotes, the Rosh and Brochus quotes the Ravid. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. He holds Mikra Adinya Mechuyev. They never abolished the takana with respect to davening, only with respect to learning Torah. So mi'ikar adin, you have to go to mikveh before you want to daven. So what's the common practice? So the common practice is l'hokal on this, but it is a machlokes. So in Aseres Meitshuva, we don't eat pas palter. Aseres Meitshuva, we have all kinds of chumras to try to put us in the mood, not to try to fool the Rabbanu Shalom that we're bigger tzaddikim than we are, but to try to put ourselves in a mood of trying to be a little more medactic. So this is one of the things that the Rishonim and the Balei HaTosafot had this. Aseres Meitshuva, the Kavod Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, maybe it makes sense to be choshish for the Shitas Haravid to go to mikveh. So if that's the reason why you go to mikveh, then the Gemara says Maim Shuvim is okay. So with Tfilas Balkeri to be allowed to daven, Maim Shuvim would be good. Other, the Rosh at the end of Yuma quotes the Rav Sadi Goyen that one should go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur, and you say the bracha when you come out of the mikveh, say the bracha ala tfilo. Say bracha ala tfilo, but if it's only a chumra for the shittas haravid that a balkari is not allowed to daven, so you don't say a bracha when they really observed the din, when the takana was still betokfo, so then if you went to mikveh, you would say a bracha, because mikveh din you had to, but if Bezman said the whole thing was only a chumra for Aseres Meitshuva, Yom Neroim, why do you say a bracha? So the Rosh understood in the Rav Sadi Goyen that his opinion is that chayvonim l'tayratzma beregon, you have to go to mikveh before yom tovim. So the pashtus is the Shagasari has a whole tshuva based on the Ram. Pashtus is chayvonim tayratzma beregon is only on sholosh regalim when there's a din of aliyah l'regal. So you have to be tohet to enter the Beis Hamikdash. There are three chayuvim. Gimel mitzvahs. It's tabi sod bali osim laregel. You have three mitzvahs on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. Riyach Hagiga and Simcha. So, Shalmi Simcha, you have to eat. You have to eat the Besar Karbonis. So you have to go to Mikveh and Harav Shemesh in order to be able to eat the Besar Karbonis. But Bezman Hazeh, no one has any Karbonis. We're not entering the Azorah and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There is no Aliyah Laregel. So how does it apply to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So that's what the Rosh doesn't agree. The Rosh disagrees with Rav Sadi Gaon. But he understood Rav Sadi Gaon that is based on Chayvonim Taratz Beberegel. He understood it differently. Chayvonim Taratz Beberegel is not to be able to be Oyle Regel. It's in order to absorb the Kedusha Sayyim, you have to be in a state of Tahara. For Shabbos, the Kedusha is so powerful, it'll have an effect on you even if you're Tomei. But for Regalim, Yom Tif, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Yomim Tovim, you have to go to mikveh to be able, even Mizman Hazeh, Din Daraisa, you have to go to mikveh in order to absorb the Kedusha Sayyim of the Yontif, which have an effect on you. So if you say like that, it's a real Din Daraisa, it has to be a kosher mikveh, so Maim Shuvim would not be acceptable. And the generally accepted pshat is neither. It's not because the pshat from Absadi Gaon is neither. The Rav Sadi Gaon doesn't say it on Erev Rosh Hashanah, he only said it on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Rosh HaShulchan writes, and the Rabbi Ruchem Perlo was a businessman in Europe who wrote these three volumes of commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvah of Rav Sadi Gaon. So they write, they think Rav Sadi Gaon is only on Erev Yom Kippur, has nothing to do with Sholosh Regalim, Chayavonim Taratz Beberegel. It's based on the Pasuk, Lifnei Hashem Titoru. Before you enter into the Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Kippur, you should purify your bodies by going to the mikveh. Ramban learns Lefnei Hashem Titoru means before you enter Yom Kippur, you should purify your soul by saying vidui. The ikadina vidas erev Yom Kippur as you're about to accept Kedusha Sayyam. So then the Chacham moved it up before the Suda Mafsekes, something may come up the last minute. Your wife will ask you to wash the dishes or take the garbage down or something. You may forget your talis, you have to go back. So by the time you get to shul, it's already going to be shkia. You won't be able to say vidu. So they moved it up to before the Suda Mapsekas, and then the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shalom that if you come to shul on time, you should repeat vidi again before Yom Kippur to fulfill what, according to the Rabban, is a din min haTorah. Lifnei Hashem Titoru, before Yom Kippur enters, you should say vidu. So Rav Sadi Gaon also learned, before Yom Kippur enters, Lifnei Hashem Titoru, you should go to the mikveh. So it's only on Erev Yom Kippur. So that for sure, we don't follow that opinion. It has to be a kosher mikveh, we don't follow that.
According to Rav Sadi Gaon, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, even if somebody would not be going the regel, would they still have to have paraduma?
Yeah, you should. Even if you're not going to the Beis HaMikdash at all, according to the Rosh's understanding, then it's Chayav Adam Taratz Mabregel. The Rosh disagrees with Rav Sadi Gaon. He doesn't really, in principle, he doesn't disagree. He says, we can't do it today because we're all Tamei Mason, we don't have Eifer Para. But if not for that, the Rosh agrees that it really is Chayav Adam Taratz Mabregel and applies to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and applies to Bezman HaMikdash even if he can't be Eifer Regel. Because the whole argument the Rosh had, why it's wrong, the Shagazai says it's wrong because only on Sholosh Regalim has to do with Aliyah LaRegel. What does that have to do with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? But the Rosh didn't argue that. The Rosh goes for the whole story. He just says, you don't have Eifer Poros, so you can't be Matar yourself anyway. So what are you wasting your time by going to the mikveh? You don't accomplish anything. That's the time. Okay, again, I encourage everyone to stay in the Shiva. I always davened in yeshiva for many, many years, and I think I was very inspired by the davening in yeshiva. Good. Good Shabbos, everybody. Good
Yom Kippur. Thank you.
Good Chasimah Taiba.
Good Chasimah Taiba, already.
Amen. Going home, or are you staying here?
I'm going home for Rosh Hashanah, coming back from Gedalia until after Yom Kippur.
Wow,
so,
okay. Shabbat. Amen. Amen.
Toward the bottom, we're talking about history's precedent over, like historians' precedent over.
There's a reason that's not
popular. So, two questions. Yeah. First of all, that applies to science.
Looks like it's from Mars. Looks like a lychee fruit, but it's got these prickly things.
There's no
second. Looks like it's from Mars.
So, what would we do with that?
I think
that's differently than historical construct.
Is that halacha?
The Chasam Sofer writes that the Rambam left out that Gemara about fish and meat. The doctor and he followed the medicine and didn't.